always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A scandalo in the U.S. Senate.
It's a breach of trust.
Maryland Democratic Senator Ben Cardin talking about a purported sex tape recorded in a Senate hearing room of two men en flagrante. He says it's a personnel issue.
This was over the weekend when I learned about it, made sure that he was separated, so he left the Senate employment.
And Capitol Police are investigating. Getting to yes on a deal on immigration policy to be included with a bill with military aid for Ukraine, the South Pacific, and Israel will take time. Senate negotiators say they won't have anything this week. The administration says Ukraine funding will run out at the end of this month. It's China's deadliest earthquake in a decade. No fewer than 126 people were killed in a cold and mountainous region of northwest China in a magnitude 6.2 earthquake today. More than 500 were injured, 20 unaccounted for. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The first fake Trump elector is speaking publicly about efforts to overturn Joe Biden's victory in Wisconsin 3 years ago. Andrew Hitt tells WISN-TV's Up Front the Trump campaign lied and said the documents were a backup plan in case the courts declared Trump the winner.
We were tricked. We weren't made aware of any ulterior motive or scheme, and we wouldn't have gone along with it had we been told about it.
Hitt is now cooperating with federal investigators. COVID-19 cases are trending up in Wisconsin. 403 people were in the hospital at last word, and 46 of them were in the ICU. State health officials say only 12% of eligible adults in Wisconsin have had the latest COVID vaccine. RSV and flu cases are up, too. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks basketball on tap. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks homestand continues with two more games. They host the Spurs tonight, then the Orlando Magic on Thursday. Milwaukee with a four-game winning streak. NFL, the Packers lost 34-20 to Tampa Bay. Quarterback Baker Mayfield had played at Lambeau Field with two other teams, the Browns and the Rams, and in his third consecutive trip to Green Bay, he finally got a win with the Buccaneers.
Third time's a charm, that's for sure. Our team was really prepared to come in here, mentality to come in here with one job in mind and just to find a way to win.
Mayfield threw four touchdowns, 381 yards through the air, and a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. I spoke to his favorite target, Chris Godwin, who had 10 catches for 155 yards.
Like I said, we got a lot of grit on this team.
Is it just me, or somewhere about 20 yards downfield off tackle, there's a spot with your name on it?
Yeah.
What was going on today?
I don't know.
That's Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down here this afternoon. Our high today, 32. The wind out of the southwest at 15 to 25 through about midday and then backing off to 5 to 15 here later today. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 20. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
6 to 10, The Zone. Sows, cows, plows. Heck, anything connected to farming's on the menu here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, maybe a little warmer today. The wind should die down just a bit. Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. Yeah, I was surprised just like you with the strong wind gusts we got yesterday around the state. Knocked some power out for folks in southeast Wisconsin, I heard. Today, a few more clouds than the sunshine we had yesterday. 33 is our expected high. Winds today still out of the south-southwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. For tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, but we bounce up to 42 degrees. The winds diminish substantially. Then on Thursday, cloudy skies, 41. Friday, could see some morning showers, 44. Saturday, cloudy and 46. Sunday, partly sunny. Afternoon showers possible on Christmas Eve, 49. Our expected high, way above average for that part of December here in the state of Wisconsin. Stu Muckrag, meteorologist, of course, going to bring us more travel details, especially for you folks that are planning on heading out later this week. And it's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a drone. And it could be coming to more farm fields for you in 2024. Stephanie Hoff has an update, and we're chatting with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's another guest on the way.
Hey, I'm Stephanie Hoff from the Midwest Farm Report, making a New Year's resolution. You can listen to me on the Midwest Farm Report, but now I want to listen to you. Send Midwest Farm Report a text through our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM. Again, 877-301-3276. Tell us how much rain you got or what's happening in your field. You can even send us a story idea. I'm Stephanie Hoff, looking forward to another year of keeping you informed on what's happening in Wisconsin agriculture.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier, Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Youngke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today.
It's easy to get excited about the holiday season, from presents and food to holiday decor. We can take it over the top. While a lot of that is not only enjoyable and preferred, some things we do might actually put the state's ecosystem at risk. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Shala Werner, Plant Protection Section Manager at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, has been following the patterns of potential freeloading invasive insects traveling to the state via holiday decorations. Werner says it's happening more and more each year.
So what Wisconsin DACAP has noticed is during our inspections of cut Christmas trees and holiday greenery such as wreaths and porch pots and swag from out of state, particularly eastern states, we've been intercepting a pest known as the elongate hemlock scale. And that pest is not native to North America or Wisconsin. It was accidentally introduced into New York from Asia around 1908. And while it's not a quick disperser on its own, when things like cut Christmas trees, such as fir Christmas trees, the Fraser fir and balsam fir, come in from out of state, these little insects that suck fluid from the needles can actually live on that material for weeks and weeks. What we are trying to tell people is to just, you know, look for that kind of pest because we don't want it in Wisconsin.
How do you tell if you actually have it then?
flip over a branch, especially look at the lower branches of Christmas trees at a lot that might be bringing that material in from another state, it almost looks like tiny little fish scales on the undersides of the needles. And the males have white scales and the females have brown scales. And if you look really closely, maybe, you know, fun project with the kids, you can even see little yellow eggs that that female is laying underneath these hard, waxy scale coverings. And then you even have crawlers, which are the mobile form of the insect that we have found on this cut material emerging from the underside of the scale. And that is what we're worried about, because crawlers could hop onto a bird or a squirrel, or if someone were to throw that tree outdoors next to another conifer, such as a hemlock or a balsam fir in our native forest, then we could have an infestation on our hands. And again, that's what we're trying to avoid.
We mentioned, you know, it's not technically in Wisconsin, but it could be brought into here. So why is it important for those in Wisconsin to know about it?
So this does pose a big threat to Wisconsin's Christmas tree growers, because the elongate hemlock scale is actually very hard to control, even with pesticides, because those insects, they can live on cut material for weeks. They're protected from surface sprays. So in order to control the pest, they have to use expensive systemic pesticides that are taken up through the plant's roots and eventually make it to those needles. But it's hard to get 100% control. And of course, anytime we have a pest that could be weakening a tree, it's also making those trees aesthetically, you know, not as pleasing or attractive to customers. And with Wisconsin being a top five Christmas tree producing state, we really want to not only protect our northern forests, but also the Wisconsin Christmas tree growers. And so one thing that Wisconsin.cap has done in that area is that we proposed and then earlier this year enacted what's called a quarantine for elongate hemlock scale. So this should also make it easier for everyone in the state, like the growers and the public. You should not have to look for and find these pests on cut material at this point, because it is not legal for other states to send infested material for Wisconsin. So basically, you know, this is the first year that we've had that regulation in place. Our inspectors are out there looking at Christmas trees and wreaths and other material to make sure that that's not still coming in. But there is that remote possibility that we could still get some infested material. And our hope is that if that is still happening, we can either do some compliance outreach to the retailer that's selling that material to make sure it doesn't happen again and that it's not sold if it is infested. And then also we can direct the public, if someone is just not sure where material they bought came from, you can just pitch it at the end of the season rather than putting it in your backyard near a natural conifer forest, because we really don't want to see that pest in Wisconsin.
Are there any other insects that we should be thinking about, or where are there maybe lessons that we've learned over time working with this insect, but others as well? What else should buyers be aware of when they are out there buying that holiday decor?
So if people have heard of the spongy moth, they like to lay their egg masses on any flat surface. We have spongy moth well established in 53 counties in Wisconsin. But if you're in the far western part of the state, you do want to watch for those felty, spongy, kind of beige colored egg masses. They would usually be right on the trunk or on the branches of a Christmas tree. And if you do find that, there is a way that, you know, you could take a credit card or a paint scraper and scrape off and destroy those egg masses. You don't want to move those to new places, because one spongy moth egg mass could have up to 1,000 little caterpillars inside. So We don't want new infestations of that pest because we're trying to slow its spread into the western parts of Wisconsin and Minnesota. Like with any agricultural product, you want to be careful what you bring in and you want to check for pests. We even got boxwood blight on some boxwood wreaths that were brought in from the West Coast years ago. And so if you're not sure, the safest thing is to dispose of that material properly at the end of the holidays. Otherwise, you could always buy locally, like from a local choose and cut Christmas tree grower in Wisconsin, because as I mentioned, we're a top five Christmas tree producing state. So there are plenty of places to get locally grown Christmas trees.
And that's the key, right? That supporting local, our Wisconsin growers, they are dedicated to making sure that they're preventing these pests from being here and doing what's needed so that we can enjoy our holiday season.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I want to do with this is to discourage people from going out and having that experience, because it's not even just the Christmas tree. I mean, our family got to go on a wagon ride with beautiful Belgian horses. And so our farmers are really trying to be, you know, great local citizens, and you're making memories with your family. You're supporting a sustainable agricultural product. You know, all of our staff generally looks forward to doing those Christmas tree inspections in the fall, because a lot of the Christmas tree fields are also underplanted with things like milkweed and goldenrod. And so you'll see monarchs flying around. So, you know, as with a lot of places in Wisconsin, it can be good deer habitat. So you'll see all kinds of wildlife out there. And instead of buying, you know, a fake plastic Christmas tree that might have petroleum-based products or other chemicals in that, you're supporting your local farmers, you know, agriculture in Wisconsin, and you're getting a beautiful natural product for your home.
And if people want to learn more about the threats that some of these invasive insects or plants even could pose, how can they educate themselves to be better consumers?
Yes, that's a great question. So people that want to learn more can go to DATCAP's website, and we actually have a special site for more information about pests and diseases that can be present on plants that are not really supposed to be in Wisconsin. And that website is plantpests.wi.gov.
That was Shala Werner, Plant Protection Section Manager at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Choosing and cutting a live Wisconsin tree every year is a great way to support Wisconsin farmers and create a family tradition while at the same time protecting our ecosystem. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
DaviesRemodeling.com.
If Mary had a little lamb, you can bet she'd talk to her about it. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yeah, that wind is going to continue to surprise you on a Tuesday morning. Let's talk about it. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us to give us a little bit of an update. That was what everybody was talking about yesterday on the talk text line, was that the winds did surprise us. I was coming back from Green Bay yesterday, and I heard that the winds were so strong, rather, that some power lines got knocked down, knocked some power out for folks around the Milwaukee area. I don't know, was that kind of a statewide phenomenon, or did they just get it kind of worse?
They might have had a little bit worse, but yeah, it happened around the state. I mean, we had wind gusts yesterday, Pam, upwards of 40, a little over 40 miles per hour. So, you know, that was a winter wind that brought some cold in for us all of a sudden.
Yeah. Now, we're going to get another taste of that today before we kind of start turning the corner again, huh?
Well, even today, I would say we'll end up a little above normal. Now, it may not feel all that spectacular, a couple of degrees at most, but it's a turnaround from what we saw yesterday. Those winds yesterday absolutely kept the chill in the air and kept it feeling a whole lot more like winter. But now it begins to turn around. Nothing to look at on weather radar this morning. And in fact, we have to talk of a little warm front out in western parts of South Dakota. That warm front will advance east and on into Wisconsin. That does allow for temperatures to end up today a little on the above normal side, further above as we head into the day Wednesday. But that front then is accompanied by a cool front that drops through by late Wednesday. That will bring some more clouds around for later in the week. And with that cloud cover, I expect some moist air to filter up out of the Gulf of Mexico. And that all works together so that if not late Thursday night into the day Friday, specifically southeast, maybe the southeast quarter to third of Wisconsin, we'll begin to talk about some rain chance, scattered showers. That's about it. Some light rain, not going to amount to a great deal, a tenth of an inch or less, but some rain chance to wrap up the week. Into the holiday weekend, including Monday, Christmas Day, occasional hit-or-miss type shower chances certainly are going to be popping up, and the temperatures stay mild. I commented to Pam, our temps as we head toward Christmas Day sound a lot more like Thanksgiving Day. I'll have forecast details right after this.
There goes Pam Youngke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to our equipment. Check out the affordable, efficient, versatile tractor lineup at R Equipment and ask for Mr. Versatile Chunk Gill. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Fabulous Farm Babe, on Twitter at Fab Farm Babe, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier, Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Youngke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today. All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, well, some sunshine today. Call it partly sunny, not nearly as windy as yesterday, and we'll look for some low 30s, you know, 2 or 3 degrees above the normal. The normal across the southern part of the state, 31, and the south winds today about 5 to 15. Now, more clouds develop tonight, more clearing from west to east late in the night, down in the lower 20s, low to mid-20s with the south winds, 5 to 15. More sunshine Wednesday, a lot of very upper 30s, a 40 here and there. there. South winds become east about 5, and even Thursday becoming mostly cloudy, very low 40s, east winds at 5 to 10. And by Thursday night or into Friday, Pam, especially in the southeast, a little rainfall. But those temps in the low 40s, we are going to be above normal heading for the holiday.
I know that there's a lot of folks that wanted to see a white Christmas, but I'll tell you what, I said it last week, I'll say it again. If you've got travel plans, travel responsibilities, or even have to get to work, this is the kind of weather I'd rather deal with at this stage in December.
Yeah, it's easy to deal with, but, you know, how many want to be out in the ice and using the new skis? And yeah, we're not going to do that either.
Not for a while, not for a while. All right, buddy, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, have a good one.
Speaking of catching up, we'll be catching up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. If you've got weather observations, I see some of you. Thank you for updating me on the strong winds yesterday. Everything from calf huts getting tumbled over to issues at the landfill because of all that wind. Remember that number, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. A scandalo in the U.S. Senate.
It's a breach of trust.
Maryland Democratic Senator Ben Cardin talking about a purported sex tape recorded in a Senate hearing room of two men en flagrante. He says it's a personnel issue.
This was over the weekend when I learned about it. Made sure that he was separated. So he left the Senate employment.
And Capitol Police are investigating. Getting to yes on a deal on immigration policy to be included with a bill with military aid for Ukraine, the South Pacific, and Israel will take time. Senate negotiators say they won't have anything this week. The administration says Ukraine funding will run out at the end of this month. It's China's deadliest earthquake in a decade. No fewer than 126 people were killed in a cold and mountainous region of northwest China in a magnitude 6.2 earthquake today. More than 500 were injured, 20 unaccounted for. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The first fake Trump elector is speaking publicly about efforts to overturn Joe Biden's victory in Wisconsin 3 years ago. Andrew Hitt tells WISN-TV's Upfront the Trump campaign lied and said the documents were a backup plan in case the courts declared Trump the winner.
We were tricked. We weren't made aware of any ulterior motive or scheme, and we wouldn't have gone along with it had we been told about it.
Hitt is now cooperating with federal investigators. COVID-19 cases are trending up in Wisconsin. 403 people were in the hospital at last word, and 46 of them were in the ICU. State health officials say only 12% of eligible adults in Wisconsin have had the latest COVID vaccine. RSV and flu cases are up, too. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Bucks basketball on tap. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks homestand continues with two more games. They host the Spurs tonight, then the Orlando Magic on Thursday. Milwaukee with a four-game winning streak. NFL, the Packers lost 34-20 to Tampa Bay. Quarterback Baker Mayfield had played at Lambeau Field with two other teams, the Browns and the Rams, and in his third consecutive trip to Green Bay, he finally got a win with the Buccaneers.
Third time's a charm, that's for sure.
Our team was really prepared to come in here, mentality to come in here with one job in mind and just to find a way to win.
Mayfield threw four touchdowns, 381 yards through the air, and a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. I spoke to his favorite target, Chris Godwin, who had 10 catches for 155 yards.
Like I said, we got a lot of grit on this team.
Is it just me, or somewhere about 20 yards downfield off tackle, there's a spot with your name on it?
Yeah.
What was going on today?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you
partly
covered.
Partly cloudy
Bug
and Tussle a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down here this afternoon. Our high today, 32. The wind out of the southwest at 15 to 25 through about midday, and then backing off to 5 to 15 here later today. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 20. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, The Todd Alba Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power, are veterans.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would
be... Pat! Got, come on! Okay.
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's no victory Monday here today, but
it's Ventline Monday, you know.
Connecting producers and consumers one story at a time. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Not real warm again today, and the winds are still going to be noticeable. Today it looks like partly sunny skies, 33 are expected high. Winds still out of the south-southwest at about 10 to 15 miles an hour today. Tomorrow it starts turning around, partly cloudy skies, 42. Thursday, cloudy skies, 41. Morning showers possible on Friday, 44. Then Saturday, 46, and Sunday, 49 degrees. Christmas Day, Monday, we will touch out around 51 degrees around the state of Wisconsin. Go figure. We've got Wisconsin milk production figures coming up and what's happening in other dairy-producing states. And John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, our regular Tuesday guest joining us, too. I'm Pam Yankee. So glad you're along with us. Today is the 19th day of December. On this day back in 1886, Sherlock Holmes, The Adventure of Burl Cornett, started to unfold in the general public on this date. So let's remember, the short detective story written by Arthur Conan Doyle featured Detective Sherlock Holmes and his friend and assistant, Dr. Watson. It started on this date with the theft of three precious crystals from a coronet. The story is the 11th in a series of 12 stories, part of The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, released on this day back in 1886, and we're still seeing it today, aren't we? Let's see. On this day back in 1971, CBS airs Homecoming, A Christmas Story. That was kind of the beginning of the Waltons, which is still on MeTV today. Happy birthday to magician, Las Vegas performer, Chris Angel, actor Jake Gyllenhaal. He's also celebrating his birthday today. Happy birthday to Alyssa Milano. She's 51 years young. And happy anniversary to one of the Jonas Brothers. Musician, actor Kevin Jonas married his wife Danielle on this day back in 2009 in Huntington, New York. Happy anniversary. And now you know, it's a bird. It's a plane. No? It's a drone, and you're going to see more of those drones buzzing across Wisconsin farm fields in 2024. Stephanie Hoff gives us an update.
Madison Area Drone Service says the busy time for buying drones is now, and this is because after the rush of harvest, now is the time that growers can sit down and explore how a drone might make their life easier for the next growing season. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Finn Johnson joins us. He's an ag business manager at Madison Area Drone. He advises you to make a decision soon on whether or not you want a drone on the farm so that you can be ready to operate it by spring. He says there are a few tasks that drones are really useful for.
So where we see a lot of people
showing interest in this is in cover crop seeding and fungicide applications. So with a traditional applicator like a tall boy trying to do cover crop seeding for corn or soybeans, at the optimal time for cover crop seeding, your crops are going to be really tall and you're going to be damaging the pollination cycle or just damaging the crops with the ground equipment. The benefit of drones is it's always flying above the crops no matter how high they are. So we're going to prevent the pollination damage cycle. We're going to prevent damaging the stalks of the crops. In precision applying fungicides, you want to be able to identify and precision apply these chemicals to your field, and that's where drones are really uniquely equipped.
Crop protection, but also some price protection there, right?
The whole idea is applying precisely. So if you wanted to look into the full cycle of things, you can send a scout drone up into the air and map out your whole property on a daily, weekly basis, however many periods is convenient, or however many times you expect things to change. And then based on that information, that eye in the sky that you just got, you can then apply the precise amount of product to areas that you see and can identify as in need of that product.
So Finn, tell me, what is the typical size of farm that turns to drone technology?
It's going to be mid to smaller size farms. If you have 3,000-4,000 acres in Iowa, row crops, it's flat. An air tractor, traditional fixed wing aircraft, is always going to be more efficient, at least currently. So for those mid-sized farmers to smaller farmers, that's where we see people really starting to be interested in these things, because if you have property that is, let's say, the topography is hilly, or you have jagged boundaries where a traditional manned aircraft is going to have trouble coming down low, spraying where it needs to get sprayed, and then pulling up in time, drones are just like a helicopter. They're hovering in place. But unlike a traditional helicopter, that downdraft is not so powerful that it's going to be damaging to your crops, and it obviously costs a lot less than a helicopter. So that's kind of where we see people seeing the benefits of this new technology.
What kind of training does someone need to have before they fly one of these things?
The cutoff to needing a lot of extra licenses is above 55 pounds fully loaded with the aircraft and the payload. So for most applicators, we're going to need what's called a Part 107, and that's just a federal license. I'd say it takes about 2 weeks to get, studying an hour per day. And then after that, you're going to need a Part 137 exemption, and that's a bit more of an involved process. We recommend people go through a qualified law firm, or if they have friends in the area who have done it that can recommend that process or that particular law firm, we always recommend that. And then based on the state you're in, each state has different aerial applicator laws associated with spraying chemicals from any aerial vehicle. So in Wisconsin, you can go through the UW-Madison system to get your license for that. But again, if you're out of the state of Wisconsin, you'll have to look into that individually.
Then, do you have the proper licensure? Is this a process that you've gone through?
This is, yeah. It's not bad, right? And I'm relatively new to this industry, so, and after looking into everything that growers and farmers have to go through to get what they need to get done, it's a drop in the bucket. Anybody could do it.
So what's it like when you're driving a drone?
The fun thing about the drones is you don't actually need to pilot it manually. The process that we go through is essentially we define the boundary of our property and where we want sprayed. And then within that boundary, we can also identify, let's say we've got pond, water, animals, fences that we don't want sprayed. And then we just mark those areas. And the drone is smart enough to where it's going to generate a grid pattern that it's going to fly, and it's going to skip over those assets that we'd identified as non-crops and not spray those.
Finn Johnson joining us with the details to consider if you're thinking about having drone technology on the farm. Finn is an ag business manager with Madison Area Drone Service. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Join me this holiday season as we celebrate the spirit of farming and the traditions that connect us all. From the smell of freshly cut hay to the warmth of a cozy farmhouse on a snowy evening. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and I'm proud to bring you agribusiness news where the heart of farming meets the joy of the season. For my corgi Peach and myself, we want to wish you a Dairy Christmas and a Happy Moo Year. And from all of us here at the Midwest Farm Report, thanks for listening.
John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing, just around the corner. Well, Wisconsin milk production in the month of November remained flat, according to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service. 2.58 billion pounds of milk produced within our borders. That's basically unchanged from November a year ago, and we did it with 1,000 fewer milk cows than we had November of 2022, 1.27 million head. Some of the other states that saw milk production increases included South Dakota, up 7%, Florida November milk production, up 6.2%. And then take a look at the states that declined. New Mexico dropped more than 10% in November milk production. We saw that Vermont was down 3.4%, Colorado down 2.2%, Texas down 2.2%, and California milk down another 1.7% for the month of November. In overnight electronic trade this morning, markets are actually pretty quiet. So far, we've got our December corn, make that March corn, trading unchanged at 476. December next year, corn's down about a penny at 507. January soybeans are down a dime at 1317. November new crop down 7, 1276. July wheat's down 2, 632 a bushel. Yesterday, the barrel cheese dropped 4.5 cents to 140.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 6.75 cents to 145.25, while AA butter gained 5.75 cents to 254.75 per pound. January milk right now up 3 at 1562 a hundredweight. All right, coming up next, we'll find out what's making news in the marketplace this morning. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, just around the corner.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Now.com.
An industry that feeds the world is definitely an industry worth talking about. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
And that's exactly what we're doing now on a Tuesday morning with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Always like to remind you that John is very accessible if you've got questions going into the new calendar year or even wrap it up 2023. Toll-free number 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. 9779, and of course their website with all the information you're looking for, totalfarmmarketing.com. So John, one of my comments was that as we kind of get closer to the holidays, markets get less and less predictable. They may get quiet, but that doesn't mean predictable. Let's start off this morning with our agriculture related markets. One item of news that we've still got coming this week, cattle on feed report. Are there going to be enough interested parties still in the marketplace to pay attention?
Yeah, when we get to this time of year, you're starting to see the volume already fall apart a little bit yesterday, and that can really lead the market to some pretty crazy moves just because of the lack of players. So that it gets to be an interesting time, and all of a sudden you'll see a quick swing in the marketplace just because there's nobody to step in front of a sell line or a buy line in terms of some of the commodity price moves. So we'll have to kind of watch. Now, cattle on feed is out Friday. You know, this one's kind of anticipated or getting highly anticipated because of what's been going on in that cattle market. It feels like at least we've got a bottom in place here, starting to trend higher, closed higher on the week, decent day again yesterday. You know, the big numbers that we're going to be watching are these placements. And, you know, we had a couple months with strong placements as we pulled cattle forward. We pulled some import cattle in to kind of fill some holes in a lot, but we expect that to kind of go away again. You're looking at placements maybe down about 5% from last year, again, tightening up that cattle herd in terms of in the feedlots. You know, the report I'm really kind of waiting for and looking to is going to be that January inventory report that comes out with, you know, measuring cattle on the 1st of January. And the one area that's still going to be a concern to me, and it's in that feeder cattle market, is the cattle supply. Their expectations from one analyst group I've been looking, they're thinking down 3.7% or about 900,000 head from last year. You know, 38.5 million head of feeder cattle calf supply that's out there versus 39.4. And, you know, those are some of the lowest numbers we've seen going all the way back to 2015. So I've kind of made that case, even though we saw this big sell-off in the market, which was more money tied, you know, we still just don't have the cattle supplies out there. And I think that sets up for probably a fairly good back half of the year, especially if those placement numbers start showing up like that on the report Friday.
Have we heard anything about importing cattle, trying to get them onto the feedlots to offset some of those numbers?
You know, that was some of the talk that came through in those last two placements. We had the feed drop and price and corn drop, you know, so we had the cattle getting pulled ahead. And again, some of the weather concerns were there, so they brought a lighter weight cattle in. They can pencil those out a little bit better with those lower costs on feed. And that's what we saw, was a big influx of Canadian and Mexican cattle to kind of fill those feedlots back up. And now again, here we're back to the stage of, you know, the supply just isn't there because we brought cattle forward.
Interesting. Again, John Heinberg along with us. If you want to get in touch, John H at TotalFarmMarketing.com will get you there as well. So let's talk a little bit more, like I said, preparing myself for these holiday markets. Give people a sense of the tempo, what's going on with grains. Boy, it has just been super choppy to me, John. And, you know, as we start off this morning, soybeans still down. Have we already lost the South American market?
We're seeing a lot of fluctuations on the overnight after a pretty good day in the bean market yesterday. And, you know, maybe that was tied to some demand and the front end here. And that was something I was kind of thinking could happen. You know, we got that crush report on Friday from NOPA regarding bean crush. It was another record crush for the month, one of the second largest on record. So we're getting got a strong crush capacity here in the U.S. And that's going to be a big factor going forward. Add in that a good week of export shipments, and we continue to see sales moving these beans out. So we got some competition here at the Gulf right now, or at the Pacific Northwest, between the crushers and the exporters in terms of getting these beans. So we got a little bit of a bid yesterday. We're giving back 10 cents of it this morning based on some of these South American forecasts. But again, just showing some of the volatility that we could see here, you know, as these market moves. I'm going to be continuing to watch, see if we get those sales from China stepping in. They've been actively buying those U.S. beans. And, you know, if that continues to be the case, at least going into the end of the year, I think we could see some more volatility, especially in that soybean market, because those South American beans are late. They got some rain coming, but they're still behind the schedule, at least in terms of production. And that's going to still open up that export demand window a little bit more for our bean supply, which is still not on the tight side.
Do we have an advantage over anybody else when it comes to traffic through the Panama Canal? That sounds like a nightmare.
Not so much at this time frame. Now, I did read yesterday that they are opening it up a little bit more, getting a few more ships a day through there. You know, add in yesterday, too, what's happening in the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. That is still a shipping lane also, so that caused a little bit of a pop in the crude oil market yesterday. And I do think that's some things that's out there is just what's going on in terms of the shipping rates. Now, we saw a pretty good drop in shipping rates here over the last couple of weeks. I think that was one of the things that pressured the soybean market a little bit, too, is just all of a sudden those rates came down and got prices a little bit more competitive, you know, again with the global scale. So we saw some of those bean sales fall apart. So the Panama Canal is still an issue. They're not quite getting ships through there at the pace they were. It is improved, but it's only by a handful of ships.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a good thing on the Mississippi River either still. I mean, everybody seems to be adjusting to lower freight rates.
Very much so. You know, we do have some rain coming through the southern plains here, it's at least forecasted, so we'll see if that can help that situation out again on the Mississippi River. But it seems like the market's kind of at least found an equilibrium in terms of price and movement at this time frame. But again, we still need to get those beans to the Gulf and get them out. And again, the Pacific Northwest has been very, very key in terms of shipping this so far this winter.
All right. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us this morning. And again, like I said, their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Want to call them? 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779, or John H. at TotalFarmMarketing.com. We'll give you a break next Tuesday, John. I'll allow you to have time with your family right after Christmas and pick it up again in the new calendar year. Merry Christmas.
Sounds great. Have great holidays, and we'll talk to you next year.
Excellent. John Heinberg again joining us live this morning to get you ahead of the trade. Like we said, still some valuable information coming into the marketplace later this week, specifically with that cattle on feed report. We'll just see if by Friday there's anybody around to listen to it. Well, we'll be around. That is for doggone sure. So don't forget, catch up with me again tomorrow morning. We're going to visit with our friends from the Steffes Auction Group. One area that I didn't see coming is how hay prices have started to escalate, partly because of that dry weather that's also hurting the traffic on the Mississippi River, slowing things down in the Panama Canal. Guess what? A lot of people in the United States could not grow the hay that they're going to need, and market prices have gone up. Talking about that tomorrow with Randy Kath from the Steffes Group.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
A sustainability perspective from a guy involved in growing, processing, and transporting agricultural products. Today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. P.J. Haney has quite a resume. He owns a farm in eastern Virginia, co-owns a rice mill in Arkansas, and has ownership interests in transportation, timber harvesting, and landscaping and excavating. Haney took part in a recent Farm Foundation forum on actionable goals for sustainability.
We can put the same amount of work into cover crops and to sequester carbon and all that we're trying to do, but you know, the volatility that we see in weather patterns really changes that. We may put out the same amount of work this year and get half the yield as next year, no different than farming. So I oftentimes urge that people don't measure the data that's extracted, but farmers need to be rewarded for the work that they put into these operations and into these efforts.
Haney says it's right for farmers to expect to be compensated for making sustainability improvements.
So I think if we can help the farmers bear the cost that they're going to have up front and the adjustments that they may have with the yield losses and productivity, that will really incentivize this change. Don't hurt our farmers who are growing our foods.
Tomorrow, a Walmart executive talks about the company's position on sustainable food and agriculture. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The UN Security Council votes again today on asking for a ceasefire in Gaza so more humanitarian aid can be delivered into the territory. Israeli bombardments since October 7th have left nearly 20,000 Palestinians